Hi, everyone, and welcome to the House of Pot. I'm Kaveh.
And I'm Lizzie.
And if this is your first time listening, we're a medical...
Sort of.
...podcast where we try to discuss medicine and health in a relatable way.
And we'll answer questions you may not feel comfortable asking your doctor and definitely won't bring up to your friends. On today's show, it's our anniversary. We'll have some special guests and talk about our favorite moments. Stay with us.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are broadcasted for educational and informational purposes only and do not represent the opinions of our employers. These opinions are not intended as a diagnosis, treatment, or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Please consult a local physician or other healthcare professional for your specific healthcare and/or medical needs or concerns.
Welcome back to the House of Pod. I'm Kaveh.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Joe.
And sitting in with us today, two very special guests. We have Nadeem Abubaker.
Howdy.
Producer. And we have Raja Jagadeesan.
Hello.
He is a contributor and he has some exciting House of Pod news that we'll get to later. So guys, today is a very special episode. Do you know why?
Something about an anniversary that I think I overlooked.
That's right. It's our one-year anniversary.
Joe forgot to bring flowers.
The House of Pod's one-year anniversary. Woohoo!
Oh, yeah.
Yay! Yeah.
So much enthusiasm.
I feel like that husband who forgot about his marriage anniversary and just it went by and now I'm in trouble. I didn't even know.
You're sleeping on the couch tonight.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Maybe we should start.
I would like for Kaveh to tell us the origins of the show.
Right.
If you will.
It's a pretty quick story. Lizzie and I spent a lot of time talking about medicine. And Joe spends a lot of time asking us medical questions. And we figured it would make sense to sort of share that with the world and do something that at least I hadn't heard before, which is to sort of have a show that is... hopefully entertaining to both physicians, medical types, nurses, that, and also the common person who is not in the medical world but may have questions about it. A show that sort of would peel back the curtain a little bit about the world of medicine and at the same time help sort of take away some of the fear that people might have about medicine and also give doctors a place maybe to vent. So I don't know if we've accomplished all of that, but it's sort of been something that I think we've been working on this year, right?
And also, you know, you say Joe asks a lot of questions. We want to help his hypochondria sort of, you know.
Ease it.
That's really the origin of the show.
I've been working on that for a long time. 20 years.
It's not worked.
And it has not. I have not touched the hypochondria, but that's good for the show.
It's pretty much gone. It's pretty much gone at this point, actually.
Yeah.
But anyway, the questions are important, too. I mean, there's a lot of hesitancy for people to ask some of the questions that we discuss on our show, and a lot of them have to do with butt stuff and whatnot, and I think that's what kind of sets us apart and makes us a little unique, because we encourage people to ask those questions that you're afraid to ask.
But I also love like our humor and our silliness and the ability to talk about butt stuff, you know?
Right. I like that people are able to hear how doctors actually talk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this is pretty close to normal. Maybe we swear a little bit less on air, but it's pretty much how we talk. I don't know. Does that come across, Nadeem, when you like listen to the show?
I mean, I don't have doctors in my life every day like the rest of you. And I mean, it's good. Definitely a good window into how doctors really are.
And does it scare you?
A little bit. I always expect my doctors to be super professional. So hearing a more casual conversation is a little scary, but more funny than anything.
Yeah, like hearing stories about farting in patient rooms or having nose drippings drip onto patients while you're examining them.
I'm actually, that's actually more like my kids. So I'm used to that kind of
thing. You're ready for it.
Well, I think it's been good, though. I think it's good to just kind of let people know that, you know, doctors are people, too, as you've mentioned many times on the podcast, and that, you know, we have hopes and fears and dreams, and we have embarrassing moments just like everybody else does, too.
Yeah, that's totally true. So what I'd like to do is maybe we could share, like, our favorite moments from the past year. Lizzie, would you start?
Yes, I'd like to share any sort of memorable thing, not necessarily a moment, but like your favorite episode or something you learned, or like the coolest thing, you know, that you've heard, learned, seen, or whatever from the show. For me, it was definitely Sharky Laguana's second episode with us. The first one was great. He talked about music as meditation for him, life on the road, how hard it is, and what inspired him to create his current company, Bandigo, you know, to make it safe to travel, specifically families or bands in that way. But then the second, and we sort of knew all that was coming, you know, and we interviewed him, and I thought we were done. And then, totally unpredictable and totally unexpected and totally unscripted, he had this insane medical story that was just so, you know, articulate and thorough, and, you know, really him advocating for himself. Every facet, it was just like a fascinoma, which is a medical word, Joe, for, you know, these things in medicine. And Nadim, now we have two non-doctors here. Awesome. Joe's not alone anymore. So a fascinoma
still
is
sort of alone.
I know. A fascinoma, I don't know if it's used outside of medicine, but it's these things that are literally incredible. And that's what we call, like, in medicine, a disease that is crazy, like a fascinoma. And just how, again, he had to fight for his diagnosis and keep fighting and advocating in a way that was just so smart and not adversarial. And to me, again, we sort of expected so much of the first episode, and it was still wonderful. And then the second episode just sort of blew my mind. And I thought it was a great, and Kaveh, Joe, and I barely spoke during that whole thing. So, which is funny because I usually like to hear myself, but that episode was unique for so many great reasons. And I really didn't even know in the moment how good it was until I listened later. And, you know, I know she's not a part of it, but my sister does contribute, some edits for us, or, you know, gives me constructive feedback on the show behind the scenes a lot.
Yeah.
And I asked her,
can I say her name?
Yeah. Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I knew her name too, you guys. So, so I was like, wait, what? I can say her name too. So, I asked her the same question. I was like, we're going to do this anniversary show. What do you think? And she's like, you know, and she said too, she's like, Sharky's episode was so good, the second one. And she's like, and I often remind myself, what is that disease he had? And it's called POEMS. And I'm like, Laura, why do you care? And she's like, well, I just want to remember. And I'm like, just in case, there's 200 cases in the entire world. It's the rarest of rare diseases. When I Googled it on the show that day, it came up as like disease of rare diseases. Like, it is the most rare thing. And again, I'm very glad that we could hear feed her hypochondria as well. So, so that was her favorite moment.
I think another good thing about that story was he's a great storyteller. I was like, glued to my seat for that entire hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roger, what about you?
I might cheat and say two. So I actually really like the Danielle Mitchell episode. You know, she's a doctor, obviously, and she's running for Congress, but I think I really like that she can tell a story from multiple angles. I mean, she told us what it was like as a patient. She told us what it was like to be a family member of a loved one who unfortunately passed away. She told us what it was like to actually be a practicing doctor, to be a small business owner. And she was so articulate, I think, in not just talking about herself, but I think articulating things that we all need to think about as just Americans, in terms of how healthcare is getting delivered to us and what we should be thinking about, not just from like a, you know, me and my doctor perspective, but from like our society and how, what are we doing to ourselves and our healthcare system?
Yeah. I agree. And she also had the perspective of a small business owner who had no insurance herself. So she got the Affordable Care Act and she grew up poor. It's like the American sort of dream and frustrations, you know, and again, dealing with the prior authorization stuff at the, you know, paperwork and how that is such a burden to physicians these days. You know?
Yeah. And that's like something like, it's kind of inside baseball, but you have to, it's really important. I mean, it's kind of stuff that really impacts people. Like, you have no idea that your doctor has to go to bat for 4 hours to try and get that drug that you actually need.
Right.
And then sometimes they don't get it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you're like, what? Why can't I get that?
And I have so many friends who are pulmonary doctors who just oxygen equipment tanks. Yeah. I mean, that is just a whole nother level, you know?
Yeah. Things that you would not think. You would never think it's so hard to get, you know, oxygen for some patient.
Right. Right. She's fighting the fight. And that also was a great episode. I agree.
I'm going to cheat and give a second one also. episode 12 with Sarah Peters, the lawyer.
Interesting.
Good, only because good callback.
Sharky's going to get a lot of votes. I get it. I'm going to pick one that people haven't thought of. Two reasons. Number one, I really like the fact that you brought your friend, and because you think about lawyers and doctors like oil and water and never the twain shall meet. But the truth is, like, they're just people too, just like we are. And when you actually talk to a lawyer or a doctor on a human level, I mean, they're going through the same things that we do, just from a different angle. And it was really actually a very good episode. And also personally, because I remember listening to that episode and thinking, I think I'm going to be part of this thing. I was in Tahoe. I remember exactly what I was doing, and I was going for a walk, and I was listening by myself, and I was listening to you guys talk to her, and I was like, I like this podcast.
That's so nice of you to say also, because it was a hard kind of angle to talk, because she was our friend. Like, she has so much respect for doctors. So she wasn't like, you guys don't understand. You know, she didn't come here with like an agenda.
Yeah.
And that episode also blew my mind when she said, it revolutionized sort of how I thought about it. For lawyers, it's not a big deal for doctors to go on the stand. She's like, your words are truth. What do you have to fear to go on stand? And I'm like, oh my God, it's you know, questioning everything about who we are, our definition of who we are. And she was like, oh, I didn't see it that way. And I never saw it from her perspective either, that it just wasn't a big deal, that we had all the advantage. And that to me was one of those things that I learned that I never knew.
Oh, it was fascinating. Cause I mean, you can do that exact same thought process in reverse, which is when a patient comes to us and we're like, what's the big deal? It's a colonoscopy. I do this all day.
Right. Right.
But for them, it's an existential crisis for them. Right. Right. I mean, it's the same thing when you asked her that same question. It was really good.
Yeah. No, she was a great guest.
Yeah. Good choice. Joe, what about you, man?
Gosh, so many moments. Really learned a lot. So many different guests, different opinions, different topics, perspectives. So it's kind of hard to narrow it down. But one of them that really stands out was the one with Jonathan Volk when we talked about PrEP.
He's an infectious disease doctor here in San Francisco. Really one of the forces behind this PrEP treatment.
Right, which
is pre-exposure prophylaxis for HIV.
Yeah, it just really opened my eyes and probably a lot of people's eyes on a lot of the advancements we've made with HIV treatment. And it kind of gave me a sense that there's maybe hope for that disease to be eradicated at some point, which was never a thought many years ago. So that was one of them. And then also, Mr. Raja Jagadeesan joined us, I think, on episode 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. It was 4.
And
I have the list here.
He really opened my eyes up to how the VA works. And he had a couple tough questions come his way that episode that he really answered well and helped people see how the VA works and kind of the intent behind it and so forth. So those are my two favorite.
You chose 2 episodes as well.
Yeah.
Everyone's cheating.
I know.
So many.
You're going to do this thing. Oh my God. No one told me before.
I thought I was going to be the only cheater, but I may be cheating on this one too.
I even had a third, but I'm not going to.
What was the third? Go ahead.
We'll just edit it.
Umang Mehta, Dr. Umang Mehta, the Silicon Valley episode was great.
Yeah.
And he also became a friend of ours afterwards as well, that we hang out with regularly too. So
yeah. What I loved about, the Jonathan Volk one, again, he's like the cutting edge of the future of HIV medicine, and it felt cool to give him attention and publicity in any way that we could. If we could contribute, then that is a meaningful thing. And he really, at the end, we were also talking about like talking to patients about sex and their behavior and how important that is and how hard it is. But you really need to ask people hard questions, you know? Oh, the Umang Mehta one, yeah. He clearly also is just so smart, and it was just so easy to talk to him about just every facet of, we talked a lot about plastic surgery. We made a ton of jokes about breast enlargement, and he just had such a great attitude about it all. And it was a fun one as well.
Yeah. He seemed to not mind the fact that Joe asked him like 18 questions about breast augmentation, even though he specifically said multiple times that that wasn't what he did.
He's like, I'm ENT focused, which is ear, nose, and throat. Stop asking me about breasts, please. But he laughed every time he said it.
He did his best. He was a good sport.
Yeah.
So, Nadim, what about you?
Yes, you kind of actually touched on one of them, which was, I thought was the funniest moment in the history of the show.
Oh yeah,
good. Which was Lizzie dripping snot on her patient.
If a listener has not heard that story, it was not intentional. You make it sound like I did it to my patient.
Like therapeutically, she thought she would heal this patient with her snot.
Like a stool transplant one day and a snot dripping the next day. It's a thing.
Yeah, I literally laughed out loud when I was listening to that episode. Nice. And then the other one that we touched on was a Sharky episode. I thought that was pretty awesome. But the coolest episode in terms of what I learned was the telemedicine, Dr. Ian Tong.
Ooh. Yeah.
I mean, I learned a lot about a technology that I didn't know existed, and I'm a tech guy, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that is the future. I mean, not 100% of medicine like we've talked about, but calling a doctor, videoing a doctor, emailing a doctor is going to take over probably a large portion of our day-to-day work, I think.
Right. So everyone's looking at me. So for me, I think it's going to be kind of a tie as well, but the slight edge may go to the interview with Sharky, and because for all the reasons you mentioned before and all the reasons
you
we discussed,
you have to choose an episode.
That's the one. Between the
one
first and second,
two.
I'm actually going to say episode one.
Yeah.
Because for me to get a chance to interview like someone I really respect and look up to as a musician, I mean, I really loved this guy's music for a long time. It was important to me, like getting through medical school and through residency and fellowship. There's a lot of tough moments, a lot of long nights, and their music really helped me get through that. I know that sounds pretty trite, but I do believe that, you know, music is super therapeutic, and their music in particular, I thought, touched me in that way. So getting a chance to meet one of my heroes and then them being cool and like us getting along, that's huge.
It's like the exception to the rule. You should never meet your heroes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't hang out that much, so there may still be some parts of him that I wouldn't like, but I tell you, I thought it was a great interview. I thought he did such a good job talking to us about not just the medical stuff, but about the business stuff and about the music stuff and learning a lot about that band and Creeper Lagoon, learning what happened at the end there. I think that was, for me, that was really great.
And Joe Boswell really opening up for the first time about his bipolar disorder, I think was a really big deal for him.
Right. And I think for he did us, it, for the listener.
For us, definitely. But I think he did it really well. And of all the ones, I think I got the most personal sort of comments about that. Like, wow, that was really meaningful to me personally. Or right. My mom just got diagnosed. Or I'm a psychiatrist. And I think it was good information.
That Boswell episode, the Maz Jobrani episode, people were really touched by that, and they let us know, and we really appreciate that, by the way, when you guys give us that feedback, because it's clear, like, those guys were dealing with some heavy trauma, and they did it, or heavy issues, and they did it in, you know, a really commendable way, and I think, for me, I learned a lot from listening to those guys, too.
My sister was telling me that also, when she listened to the Alicia Bravo episode, the nurse in Minnesota who had a sudden cardiac death, when she passed out and sort of was able to mouth to her father, you know, help her, that my sister started like crying, and that's so sweet, and she's very sleep deprived, so I think the two go together, and we are criers.
Yeah,
in our
you
family.
Guys are known to be criers.
Yeah, no, so I don't know that that means anything, but it meant that it was touching, and it was, she was just, again, so I think it was so important to hear her story. Yeah. You don't get to hear that story that often, that I died. And by the way, I'm here to talk about it. It's just, it's really cool medicine.
Yeah. If I could add, my close second would have been the Dennis Lowe episode, just because I think it's, not only because I love the guy, but because I think something we were able to sort of touch on from that episode, both during and our discussions about afterwards, are that there's a real importance to having mentorship in medicine. Mm-hmm. I've been lucky that I've had a couple of really great mentors, and they've made all the difference. And you cannot underestimate how important your sphere of influence is when you're mentoring somebody.
Yeah.
They take lessons that you teach them that you might just be thinking about offhand as a doctor, and you're teaching someone, a resident or something. You might think very little of it, but they take that with them for the rest of their life. And a lot of lessons I learned from him, both during residency and afterwards, have stayed with me. I think it's incredibly important.
And there aren't that many paths in life that are 10 plus years of training where mentorship is so important, you know, and through medicine, you know, again, college, then med school, then residency, maybe a fellowship, maybe research, whatever. There's so many steps to take and so many paths to choose from. And I think that a career in medicine, more than many careers, I don't know, I can't think of everyone, but I think it's one of those one fields where you actually really need mentorship guidance, because there's just so many huge important steps to take every 2 to 4 to 5 years, you know?
Right. Right. Do you, for, this is for Nadim and for Joe, who work in fields outside of medicine, do you guys, have you guys had mentors like that? Do you feel like they're important?
I mean, mentors are a pretty big thing in the tech world, but I don't think they touch in the same way, touch us in the same way. Like maybe when I change jobs, I'll forget about it, or maybe I'll learn the lessons, but I don't have like that personal connection in the same way you have with Dr. Lowe. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably a pretty special thing in the medical field.
Yeah, I would, excuse me, I would agree. I mean, it's definitely important in the business world, for sure, no doubt. But yeah, I think on from a medical standpoint, it's probably a little bit deeper and maybe more important, because you have people's lives at risk. And like Nadim said, different companies have different cultures, so that mentorship could change periodically. Whereas with a doctor, you have the Hippocratic oath and this whole mentality.
Wait.
I love it.
The Hippocratic oath. Hippocratic oath would be very different.
You said hypocritical.
No, we're not cutting that. That's
no, we're keeping it.
That's awesome.
But yeah, the point is you're affecting people's lives, and so it's more of an art combined with doing the right thing and having good morals. So
that goes back to the Charles Binkley episode, The Game of Ethics, which. We can talk about highs and lows of the show. One of the lows was when we did the Binkley episode. The first time he came and took so much time and was so patient and sat with us, I think, for over an hour of interview questions, and was so sweet. And then we found out later that day or the next day that the battery died and whatever, or our recording just stopped in the middle, and we had to bring him back
and it erased 2/3 of the interview that we just did with this world-renowned surgeon and ethicist. Who had spent all this time with us when he could be doing so many more important things.
And he was so, so kind about it. I really not for a second felt, you know, he didn't make me feel guilty. We had enough of our own guilt and, really anger, maybe a little anger at ourselves. And then we tried to book again and again. Anyway, I think the game of ethics and talking to him about the Whipple surgery, which is the complicated pancreatic cancer surgery that he, you know, excels at, was also just wonderful and generous of him to talk to us about. So
yeah,
that was a good one.
I agree. So here's something else I kind of wanted to go over. I want to hear, because you all have been involved in the show, some on air, some not, but I'm sure you've talked to people and talked to friends, and I kind of want to hear what kind of feedback you've gotten, both good and bad. And like, I want to hear about some of the things that people told you when you told them that you were in a podcast or doing a podcast. Because I know I heard a lot of different things, and some of them, I think, you know, I definitely have learned to gauge people by the questions they ask about the show. And this is probably not like...
Or the questions they do not ask.
Right. Let me say this. There are certain things when I tell people that I have a medical podcast that they say right away that I don't love. Can you guess what those are? Can I tell you what things I don't love?
Tell us,
guys. I don't love it when I say, oh yeah, I have this medical podcast. And they'll be like, oh yeah, it's like this other medical podcast, blank, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's like just like that. And I'm like, how do you know that? You haven't even heard our show.
Yeah.
How do you know that? And even if it was exactly like some other show, I don't want to hear that we're exactly like some other show.
Do you ever have people who listen to it, then they're surprised it was good?
Yes, definitely. Definitely people have listened to it and been like, I listened to your podcast. It's like when we played music with the Resurrection Men, and people would come up to us and be like, wow, you were actually good. And we were like, at some point,
it was like a backhanded compliment, yeah, almost, right?
Yeah. And the demon at one point was like, we play like some relatively big show and people come up and they were all like really surprised. And at some point he looked at me, he's like, at some point we're going to have to be offended by this, right? And it's a little like that with this, with the show.
Well, several times recently, well, I guess in the last year since we started the show, I've told people, and again, when no one asks any questions, I think that's strange to me, because I would at least want to know sort of the topic.
It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, I told you I use it with the men. on the dating scene. Mm. It works like a charm every single time. Within the first 2 minutes, I usually mention it. Hi, I'm Lizzie. I have a podcast.
Atta girl.
Yeah. And it works amazing.
You told us you were going to do that for the purpose of the show. So that you'd bring back stories.
Yes, I have. And it's succeeding. Just so you know.
Listenership is rising.
Yes, exactly.
One person at a time.
Nadeem, he does the tallies of like the listenership. He knows.
I have the trends. I can tell.
Yeah.
So a lot of people in San Francisco, I'll tell them about the podcast. They're like, oh yeah, I have one too. And it's sort of funny because I feel like it's almost become mundane. Like everyone sort of, you know, is doing things like this. Everyone has unique interests and podcasts, you know, to get up into the world. And internet is not maybe that hard, apparently.
It's like blogging from 10 years ago, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone had one.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's surprising to me how many people I've met. Definitely in the last 3 or 4 months, we're like, yeah, yeah, no, me too. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay.
The other thing I've noticed, this happened to me more than once, and there was one guy in particular I'm thinking about where this happened twice from the same guy, where it came up like that we have a podcast, and this person's response was, why? And I'm like, I don't know, it's fun. And he's like, what's the point of doing this?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I enjoy it. It's fun. And then the awesome. Another point, someone asked, why do you do this again? I'm like, I don't know, it's fun. I mean, we're not doing it to make money. We're not making any money off of it. We're just doing this to get people to listen and enjoy it. And they're like, but why do you want more listeners? I'm like, because having people listen is fun. It's part of the fun. It's not mutually exclusive to do this. And then also to have a growing fan base, which is great that that's happening.
Yeah, I've had the same commentary, and I'm a behind the scenes guy. So people even wonder why I'm like, I don't get any of the fame, glory.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you helping? Why are you doing this? I'm like,
it's
fun.
You're missing out. There's a ton of fame and a ton of glory. The other thing is that I've definitely spoken to friends or family who it'll be weeks and then we'll talk and I'll be like, oh, I can't believe it's been 2-3 weeks since we spoke. What's up with that? And you know, again, one of them will tell me, well, I've been listening to the podcast and it feels like you're here. So actually, I don't actually even miss a beat. We talk just as we would normally because right. I have had this feedback again from 2 or 3 people that it's just like being here with us. So right. It's sort of nice.
I mean, I feel the same way, even though I haven't seen you guys in a year, but it's like we email and text the 5 of us all the time. So yeah. I feel like I'm always talking to you guys, which is great. And then we haven't really seen each other in a year.
Yeah, right. That's right.
By the way, I've met Nadeem like 2 times.
In person.
In person.
What, Joe, what feedback do you get, if any?
Yeah, I get a lot of people asking, you know, why you're doing it and so forth as well. But a lot of people, they'll ask, what's the difference between your show and like Dr. Drew? You know, why should I, you know, what's the point? There's a lot of medical radio shows and whatnot. And it's an easy answer because our show focuses a lot on those questions that people do not want to call in and talk about, or they don't have that comfort level to do it. A lot of butt stuff, a lot of kind of awkward topics that people want to know about, but they're too scared to ask. And I think that's kind of gives us some difference or uniqueness there. So
yeah, we have no shame. That's the big difference.
The topics are fun.
Raja, you're relatively the newest House of Pod family member here. Have you gotten any feedback yet?
Yeah, well, actually, similar to what you said before, you know, the first person I had to convince was my wife. And, her first kind of...
response?
She was kind of like, what is this again? And why are you doing... And then I think she listened to... It was actually a rough cut. It wasn't even a final edit of one of the episodes. And she was like, oh... That's actually not bad. All right. Maybe I can support this.
Right.
But yeah, it's been super fun. I mean, I think people take it well. So all of the loyal fan base that we've had listening to the podcast, and of course you guys have been following us along on Facebook and Stitcher and iTunes. So the announcement that I would like to make on this episode is that we are about to expand into a third dimension of video. So our YouTube channel has had some of our podcasts on it, but we're going to actually have actual audio visual of your favorite House of Pod members. We're going to have YouTube videos of the 5 of us coming soon. So I did have one request for our listeners. So our email is hopquestions@gmail.com. Our phone is 408-444-6623. My question is this. I want you guys to call in or write in with what you think we look like.
Before they see us?
Because this...
That's a good question.
Podcast, when they make this jump, that's only... It's a one-time thing. It's
always a disappointment, when you go, like, huh?
No, it's not. No? I mean, you never know. I mean, when you go from basically a radio to TV, when you go to YouTube, you guys are going to find out what we look like. So before we do that, email us with what you think we look like.
Oh,
and
my God.
Coming to you soon, find out.
I'm terrified.
I'm going to have to shave, I think.
I'm scared about that, but that's a great idea.
This was a wonderful recap of the past year's joys and very few failures. Let's be honest. I was told that if you didn't lose some, that was that losing the footage for Binkley was sort of maybe the lowest. And I definitely have been told if you haven't lost at least an episode, you haven't been doing it enough or you're not doing it right. And that's what they tell us at work for procedures. If you haven't had one complication.
You haven't killed somebody with a colonoscopy, then you haven't really been a GI doctor.
Not kill. If you don't have at least one complication every year, every couple of years, you're not doing enough colonoscopy. So that's how we think about podcasting, is colonoscopy adjacent.
Let's just thank all the wonderful guests who took the time to come on the show. Please, if you haven't checked out their episodes, listen to them. They're all good. Amy Barnhurst, Charles Binkley, Graham Walker, Wei Liu, Skylar Cooper, Umang Mehta, Jonathan Volk, Sarah Peters, Dennis Lowe, Sharky Laguana, Maz Jabrani, Ian Tong, Alicia Bravo, Joanne Jarrett, Broke Ass Stewart, Joe Boswell, Kevin MD, Libby Benedict, Pratima Gupta, and Venkatesh Ramnath. Thank you all so much for coming on our show, and hopefully we'll get a chance to get everyone back at some point. We have so many great guests that we're going to plan on bringing into the next year and a lot more topics to discuss. Okay, we did something a little different. We decided to hit the streets and actually interview random people and talk to them about some of the questions that we've brought up on the show. So this is our first try. Our first take at doing a little man on the street interview with the House of Pod.
This is Kaveh.
Hey.
I'm
hey,
Lizzie.
Howdy,
this is Joe.
Okay, Joe. Greg,
Kaveh and
Caitlin.
I.
Greg,
hi.
Caitlin.
Yeah. We're GI doctors. Oh. Joe's our non-doctor perspective.
Yeah.
And we have a podcast that's medical and fun and silly.
Okay.
We talk about
you guys
how
have
to
seen a doctor, I'm sure.
He has many doctors in
yeah,
his
I got
family.
Doctors in my family.
Oh.
Family doctor.
Yeah, family doctor.
They're family doctors.
Oh, man, they do everything. Deliver babies, deal with pulmonary stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
An allergist?
Allergy.
Did you ever think about going into medicine, or were you like, no way?
No, I don't like any aspect of medicine.
No.
Are you like the only person in your family that didn't?
My sister didn't go into medicine.
That's very, very cool of you guys.
Yeah.
Very good of you guys to not do that.
Do you think the people in your family like the choice that they made? Did they discourage you from going into medicine?
Oh, not at all.
Oh, it was just you. It's all your fault.
Yeah, my grandfather actually was disappointed that I didn't. He thought I made a huge mistake.
Huge. What? Why? What do you do now?
I work in mental health.
Yeah. You're still sort of in the same thing.
Yeah.
You're
sort
in the world.
Same field, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you do?
I'm an art teacher.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
Less poop involved in that field than our
field.
Well,
it depends how old the kids are.
That's true.
Depends on how avant-garde the art is
right.
as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah. A lot of dung art, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
I've seen that.
Especially in college, there's a lot of poop art.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I can get that.
So along the lines of poop, have you guys heard of a stool transplant?
Oh, yeah.
We have.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, for sure.
What have you guys heard about?
Have you had one?
No, but I just had my microbiome analyzed.
Oh.
Like, in depth. Yeah.
And how did it look?
Oh, it's shitty.
Literally?
Yeah.
Good. What did they say you needed more of, or you had too much of? What did the analysis say?
Oh, I can't remember the analysis said, but it said that, like, first of all, I had, like, leaky gut. They were telling me I had some leaky gut.
Uh-huh.
And then you seem skeptical about that whole idea.
I really tried to keep a straight face.
I like this guy a lot.
Yeah, you're very
interesting. Like
but I can say after I had the microbiome analysis.
Yes.
And then I got all sorts of weird pills.
Yeah.
I had, like, an amazing body reaction to it. Like, I had a bunch of inflammation going on, and it all cleared up after maybe a month of whatever she was telling me to
what
do.
What were they giving you?
She gave me something called, it was called, like, Microbiome X.
Oh,
is that, like, maybe a probiotic?
Yeah, probiotics. A lot of probiotics. And then I was doing like a lot of turmeric that was helping fight inflammation.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then like
you feel like it helped.
Oh, it absolutely helped, 100%.
So, but would you consider a stool transplant if you needed one?
Would I consider a stool transplant if I needed one? Yes, I would consider a stool transplant if I needed one.
Because maybe it sounds, if your microbiome's that shitty.
Yes.
Think about it.
No, I do think about it, for sure.
Okay.
Well, you think this is all like...
No,
like,
no, actually, yeah. we
no,
don't.
No.
We,
okay.
actually
we
don't.
Do stool transplants.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We do.
Yeah, yeah. Right, because I was a C-section baby,
yeah.
And then I was like immediately taken to whatever, like the neonatal...
Sure. And back in the day, there wasn't a lot of breastfeeding, and people
yeah.
probably pushed a lot
so
of...
So I do think bottle. That I like I didn't get what I needed initially, like the... Whatever, like the...
The flora.
Yeah, the first flora were like some bad shit. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we've heard people say that. I mean, whether or not we think it's actually... I don't know if we have enough data to really buy it one way or the other, but it's reasonable to consider it. And we definitely believe that the gut microbiome and your bacteria in your gut, they actually play a big role in your overall health. Not just your gut health, but your overall health.
Yeah, it's hard not to have a relationship with the thing that's in your body that's 3 pounds worth of stuff that you're carrying with you all the time.
I also hear that we like it always typically wants to return to its original state, so it's really hard to actually change it with anything. Is that true?
I don't know. Original state's hard. It's constantly changing. There are billions of bacteria, and we can't grow them all. So we only know like 10% of the makeup of your gut flora.
Got it.
So the science, in 5 or 10 years, we're going to be awesome at this.
Yeah.
Like on a day that you feel really good, I think you'll poop into a machine and produce a pill, and on a day you feel bad, you'll take that pill.
Yes.
That's what I think the future will be.
Oh my God.
This is like science, you know, or science fiction right now.
Who did this testing for you? Was it a doctor? Was it someone outside of traditional medicine?
Yeah, outside of traditional medicine.
A naturopath.
Or
naturopath.
Into traditional medicine, depending on how you look at it.
I got you. What if that person said something that conflicted directly with what your medical doctor said, your MD? What would you do?
Oh, well, I mean... In some ways, that person did do that because I've been getting different advice from MDs for all my entire life, and nothing really changed. So
you would actually put a little bit more faith in this person. Say, if this person said, hey, take pill A, and the medical doctor said, don't take pill A, take pill B, and you're stuck in that situation again, what would you do?
At this point in my life, I'd go with pill A.
Okay, because you have more faith in that person.
Yes, because...
It worked.
Yeah, it worked, and what MDs were doing was not working for me.
So along those lines, if you were to give one piece of advice to your doctor on how to be a better doctor, what would it be?
Sit down with me for the first appointment and just spend an hour hearing like what's going on with my life in terms of like medical stuff, as opposed to just hearing like a specific symptom for 5 minutes and then giving me the response to that.
Right, so, listening better.
So more time.
Yeah, more
listening
time.
Better.
And understanding like I have a clear conceptualization of the relationship between like all the different ailments I have, and she was able to like listen to the whole thing and be like, okay, like this kind of makes sense. I can see why this would be connected to this, and let's figure that out. Versus each doctor coming in and saying like, oh, well, I know what's wrong with your pinky. Let me work with your pinky. And then I know what's wrong with your toe.
Does your pinky look like this?
Sorry.
That's a weird pinky.
I'm just saying.
You need a doctor.
Exactly. So on the other flip side, how can you be a better patient?
Can I be a better patient?
You can't.
Or are you perfect?
You're a pretty good patient.
Yeah.
And on that note, thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you guys.
I like that. We just kind of slid into that.
That was awesome.
Like Mark Maron does it. It's like, is everything on? Are we starting now?
Yeah.
Right.
All right. We got you. Thank you. We have a podcast. You guys have like 3 minutes. We're doctors, so that means you can trust us.
Yeah, 45 seconds.
Which is not a truth, but we do. We started our own podcast. I'm Lizzie. This is Kaveh. We're doctors. That's Joe somewhere. We lose him constantly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Doesn't he have the microphones? We're so unprofessional.
I got it right here.
This is our. Please take it. I have like 3,000 of them.
Okay.
Cool.
And we're gonna ask you some questions if that's okay.
Sure.
We won't get too. We are GI doctors, but we won't ask anything about your butt.
Okay.
Okay.
How does your butt look? Do you guys shave your butt? No, just kidding. Here it is. Fecal transplants. Have you ever heard of stool donor, stool transplant?
Yes.
You have heard of it?
Yeah.
My next question was true or false. It exists.
It's true. No, we've heard of it.
What do you guys think it's used for?
It's for getting someone's good gut bacteria into you.
Wow. Nice. That's a good explanation. How have you heard of it? News? Life? Like, have you had one?
No, I haven't had one. I don't know where we heard of it. I have Crohn's disease, so I'm very much...
Oh, you're very much in the know.
In the know.
This is our jam.
Yeah, GI doctors.
Too.
Yeah, it's his jam.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's controlled.
It is.
How has your experience been as a patient? Do you find that you've had good care, people are knowledgeable?
Yes.
And do you have advice for your doctors on how to be a better doctor?
I would recommend taking a probiotic as soon as possible.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if you were to give your doctor one piece of advice, what would it be? Both you guys, if you guys have an answer for that.
The advice I would give if I was a doctor would be focus on diet and exercise.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Advice to your doctor.
I would tell them to tell the patients to focus on diet
and
exercise.
Like, how would you make them better at their job?
Stop focusing on just the medicine, the biologics. There's other ways to cure these things.
I like that you're asking the question.
I already got what the question
was.
Do
you have any more questions for him?
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, it's good.
So probiotics, they've helped you.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So you would encourage them. So you take them every day?
Yeah.
All the time?
Yeah, every day.
And what else do you do for your health? So exercise?
Exercise, good diet. I take some other vitamins and supplements that help as well.
And how do you think that you can be a better patient? We talked about your doctor giving better, different advice.
Actually scheduling a colonoscopy when they ask me to.
You're that guy. We know you well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us.
Yeah. We're like every year. And they're like, how about every 2 years?
Yeah, or five.
Yeah. Well, I hope they drug you up real good.
They do.
How has your experience been getting colonoscopies?
Oh, the getting's fine.
Yeah.
It's the prep.
Yeah.
What advice, now you've probably had a couple, what's your advice on the prep?
Make your wife drink the goo.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Just a sip so we can all suffer together.
We can all
suffer together
what we're going through.
Well, March is colon cancer awareness month.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh.
So if you could encourage, not you, you're a young man, but people 50 and above and 45 if you're an African American, needs just routine screening colon cancer check, not necessarily colonoscopy.
Yeah.
So your experience would be, it's not that bad, right?
It's not that bad.
So if you would encourage people?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Oh,
that's not what this is for, but all of a sudden it occurred to me that if you've had one, we can use you.
Yeah. So you are the wife?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and you have not had a chronic sort of issue
not
like
at
that.
All. No.
How do you feel like your experience in the medical world has been?
In general, good. I definitely feel like there's kind of this like gender bias and in terms of like women being taken seriously in reporting illness and pain and stuff.
I don't want to mansplain this, but are you saying that you will present the same symptoms that say your husband would, but the doctor would take his symptoms much more seriously, whereas with you, he'd be like, it's in your head.
Yeah, I get told like that's probably anxiety or like you should try some Advil. And mm-hmm.
Do you think you're comparing yourself to your husband who has, Crohn's disease?
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's more of just a feeling kind of. I have to kind of repeat myself sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than that, I don't really have any health problems. I'm pregnant right now, so.
Congratulations.
That's a chronic condition.
That's a chronic condition, definitely. But that experience has been good.
Good.
So far. Yeah.
Good. Any TV or movie that sticks out being actually helpful or representative of medicine or, I guess, patients or anything that you would actually think is remotely true? Anywhere near.
I don't know. No, they're all just high drama.
Yeah.
I love Dr. House, but I don't think that's right.
So you don't watch any of them and assume that they're accurate in any way. You know that
Correct.
It's all sort of.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. That's all we can ask.
Yeah.
That is all we can ask.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Take it easy, guys.
Can I bother you guys? Do you guys have 5 minutes? We have a podcast. We're doctors.
Leave it 2 minutes. We're not selling you anything. Don't worry.
It's a legitimate podcast. You've heard of us. The House of Pod.
No. You certainly haven't heard of us. I'm sure you haven't.
Yeah.
But we have this medical podcast. It's like fun. It's
Will you guys
silly.
Scoot over for us? No hitting by cars. We do. We're both GI doctors.
Uh-huh.
What do you guys do for work?
I'm a software engineer.
Nice.
Finance?
Okay. So you understand. So you know what being like a doctor.
So smarter than us is what we're hearing.
Not quite.
Right. So we're just going on the street asking people for the show some fun questions. Our show is we're trying to be funny. We're trying to be informative, educational. We talk about important things and ridiculous things like
What have you heard the most crazy thing that someone has stuck up their butt? And then we also talk about how to cure HIV. So, you know, the whole spectrum.
Yeah. Sure.
So you guys, if you guys have been patients, maybe you're young. You don't have to tell us about your medical problems.
But everyone at some point has seen a doctor.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
What advice would you give to your doctor on how they can be a better doctor?
I think
it's really about like being around a little bit more. I feel like doctor's appointments, it's like a little bit of a whirlwind. You get in there, the nurse comes in, they go through it pretty quickly, the doctor comes in, shake hands, like a couple minutes, and they're gone pretty quickly. So I think it's not very personal. It's not a lot of time, maybe.
Yeah, so they should slow down a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. But I know their lives are busy, so it's
But
hard.
It doesn't feel personal is the key. You don't feel like a personal connection with your doctor. It seems very like factory-like, is that what you
a little bit,
say?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a process to it.
Yeah, yeah. Do you communicate with your doctor ever outside, like via email or phone?
No.
Or
no,
Skype or anything like that? No, okay. Would you be interested in doing something like that?
Maybe.
If you could have a FaceTime appointment with your doctor, would you rather that than having to go into the clinic?
I think I'd prefer in person, actually.
I'm both. It depends on what the problem is, but yeah. I'd be open to it.
Oh, so the young people still want to come in and see their doctor.
That's interesting.
That's good.
Because telemedicine, you know, listen to our podcast, you know, is the future, is sort of trying to do it virtually to save time, effort, money, all that stuff. So anyway, so if you guys as patients, how do you, you know, in your experience, how can you be a better patient?
Probably less WebMD trying to diagnose my own stuff.
Actually going to my doctor? Sure. Yeah. Like
these are like showing up.
Yeah.
And showing up on time, perhaps. Yeah. And less Googling or less WebMD. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what TV movie do you think most accurately depicts the life of a doctor or a surgeon or medicine?
Scrubs.
That's kind of my answer too. That's what I hope the answer is.
That's
We agree. That's actually what we said.
Yeah.
Actually, exactly what we said.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah. On the spot, it's actually very hard for me to recall like all the TV movies and things like that.
Yeah. I only can think of Scrubs and MASH. And I think Scrubs is probably
there's
better.
Like House and Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. There's
like
that. I don't think that. It's not like every day they take their personal problems in. That's more of their lives.
There's a lot less death and a lot less sex in real life. But otherwise, it's almost the same as what you've seen on TV.
Well, that was great. Thank you so much. We don't want to take up any more of your time.
Thank you so much.
Here's one for you, too. Here's one for you, too.
Thank you.
Tell your friends. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Please keep up with the emails and phone calls. Keep them coming.
At hopquestions@gmail.com. And our phone number is 408-444-6623.
All anecdotes and patient-related details were changed with respect to date, sex, and certain details so that patient identification is not possible.